Welcome to Paddling Adventures Radio. I'm Sean Rowley, and with me is Derek Specht.
Hello.
How's it going, Derek?
It's going fantastic.
500th episode.
I know. I can't believe I stuck around so long.
Me neither. I thought you'd be gone long ago. Putting out weekly episodes since February 17th, 2016. February 2026 will be 10 years we've been doing this.
And I think the only week we missed, we did a coffee tasting thing that we did down at...
Yeah. We missed 1 week, but we did two the following week.
Yeah.
So that's the only... Yeah.
So the owner was a filler with a coffee tasting
thing. We've drank 500 plus beers each.
Yep.
Plus other things, whiskey, absinthe, sake, non-alcoholic beverages, and the ever-popular organic, low-calorie, gluten-free, vegan kosher beer.
Which was also non-alcoholic. I picked my beer by how attractive the label looks.
Right?
That looks like a nice German beer. It was a German beer, but it was like...
They can keep it.
Was it really beer?
And yeah. This is why you two need adult supervision, right?
Oh, there's a voice in the background.
Alan Drummond is joining us this evening. How you doing, Alan?
I'm doing well, and you?
I'm still alive and kicking.
500 what? I don't know.
500 more to
500
go.
Something. 500 more to go. 500
yeah.
in the
Yeah, we're going to try to make it 1,000 episodes.
Okay.
I don't know if I'll...
How many have I been on?
12?
Do we need... Two hands or three? Two hands and a foot, maybe?
Been on a few. We've mentioned you lots.
Yeah, I know. Do you, yeah. Maybe two hands and a foot?
No, you've probably been on about six or so.
Yeah? Yeah. No, more than that.
Seven?
I don't know.
Doesn't Seven matter. And a half?
It doesn't matter.
We talk about
Over
you.
A dozen.
Over okay. a dozen. I don't Let's think you've been that. On over a dozen. I don't care.
It doesn't matter.
Well, you're on tonight.
Anyway,
and
I'm on
500
and that's
counts.
Pretty freaking cool. And that,
as per normal.
Congratulations to both of you for sticking it out and actually still getting along.
I know.
We fooled them all, Derek!
I'm a very...
Not everybody, not me.
I'm a very agreeable person.
I get and along in with honor of your 500th episode, I know Derek usually brings the beer tonight, but, you know, champagne is obviously what is really called for to celebrate 500 episodes, but because we're all sitting here, not champagne drinkers, I brought you the champagne of beers. Miller High Life, baby.
Woohoo!
Crack these puppies open.
Mine's not opening. These aren't.
Why's mine just spinning and spinning? Why is it spinning and spinning and spinning and not opening?
Did we not have this conversation?
Well, you asked if it was a pop off or a twist off, and I turned it, and it turned. Where's Jaws from James Bond when you need them? All right. And here we go, trying to have that dramatic pop with the microphone. Here we go. Oh my God, that sounded so awesome,
wasn't it?
And two.
Oh, yeah.
And three, there we go.
Is this the champagne of beer, is it?
It is the champagne of beer. Funny story about the champagne of beer. Last year, maybe the year before, a container of this was seized in Europe by the Belgians or the Dutch, maybe, I forget. And then it was destroyed.
Really?
Because it's called the champagne of beers.
Oh, it
champagne in the EU France. Can only be champagne from France.
Right.
It can only be actual champagne.
Champagne.
It's one of those alcohols that's all sorts of rules around,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it says it right so on the label.
Can't have it on the label. At the bottom.
Right here.
The champagne of beer. Yeah. Le champagne de bières.
Cheers, boys.
Anyway, cheers.
Cheers.
Well done. Glad to be a part of it. A little bit here and there. Mentioned.
Means less work for
now
us.
Now and again. God, that's horrible.
You know what, though?
Yeah, but it's no
a far cry above
an organic, low-calorie, gluten-free, vegan, kosher
beer.
Non-alcoholic. It is better than that.
It definitely is. No offense, Derek.
Cool.
But
500.
Yes,
wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's what we were sort of saying. But you know what? Like Derek's it came out of his mouth. This is our dart night. We get together. Yeah. We yabber.
I call it a poker night.
Yeah.
He called it a dart night. I play poker. He plays darts. He's putting one in my
mouth. And we're
both
crap. When I come out to do this, I call it the podcast night. I don't know what you two are smoking.
Apparently, you're not worthy of what we're smoking.
I guess. But no, again, congratulations. And not just being about you two. It's being about the community. I know you guys get such a huge support from the community, broad and wide, all over the world. There's some regulars that send you messages all the time. You've had some regular hosts. Obviously, John Van Berger for a while was off and on. Kevin Callan, that hack, has been here once or twice.
Yeah, a couple of times.
Yeah. But wasn't he, was he here first?
He was on our very first,
episode.
He was our second guest ever.
Right. But on the first one was the Canadian Canoe Museum. Lady?
Yep.
Right.
Carolyn
Hislop.
There you go.
Yep.
And then Kevin was also on your 100.
Yep.
And 200.
And 200.
And then
300 was in the back country.
300 was in the back country. We took all our gear on a canoe trip and recorded around the fire.
Nice.
As everybody slowly got hammered.
Okay.
No, not everybody, but most.
Okay.
And then the 400th, I think we just did.
Wasn't it Callan again?
Was Kevin on the 400th?
I think so.
I'll have to go back and look.
Let's check.
And then the 500th was this other guy. But he brought beer, so
Alan
Drummond. Way to go, buddy.
Giddy up.
And what is your company, Alan?
Kingdom Outdoor Products.
Found everywhere. If you need to buy some stuff, go check out Kingdom Outdoor Products. .ca. There you go.
All right, let's get this shit started.
All right. Oh, you swore again. Oop. We got the old change jar tonight, the swear jar every time. Alan swears.
He has no control.
Oops.
Yeah, I just got to try to remember to throw
money. Well, donate that money to the favorite charity of my choice. Me.
Me.
The Human Fund.
All righty. 500 episode. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. He did do the thing. So, no, this is not a Christmas.
It's a Christmas episode.
Yeah. Okay, it's a Christmas episode?
Yeah.
Costco already has Christmas shit out.
Does it?
Yeah.
It's not even Halloween yet.
I know.
I've been printing Halloween stuff, Christmas stuff, back to school stuff since like February.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a big lead time for it all, right? Because it's all got to be in stores and stuff.
So. When I was back in manufacturing, I worked at one point for a number of years with a cookie dough manufacturer. Right about now, we'd be doing all our Christmas stuff.
Yep. Pumpkin spice for Halloween and then Christmas stuff.
Yep. Valentine's stuff. Yeah. It's out there. Anyway, the most wonderful time of the year, and Derek really loves this time of year, it is Fat Bear Week.
Oh, were we supposed to do that in unison?
Try that again.
Yeah, ready? 1, 2, 3. Fat Bear Week!
Nailed it.
Nailed it! Yes, Fat Bear Week, where you vote for the fattest bear of the year. Some of the largest brown bears on Earth make their home at Brooks River in Katmai National Park, Alaska. Brown bears get fat to survive, and Fat Bear Week is an annual tournament celebrating their success in preparation for winter hibernation. Matchups are open for voting September 23rd to 30th, so it's coming up. It's a single elimination tournament. Each matchup, vote for the bear you believe best exemplifies fatness and success in brown bears. The bear with the most votes advances to the next round. Only one will be crowned Fat Bear Week champion. Meet the bears, fill out your bracket, predict your fat bear winner, and campaign for your candidate. But before we get into all of that, a sad note. Otis, a.k.a. Bear 480, which we always rooted for.
Yeah.
He was our favorite, always. Iconic 28-year-old Alaskan brown bear became the most famous winner of Fat Bear Week, popular online contest. It celebrates their successful salmon gorging before hibernation. He won four times, 2014, 16, 17, and 21. He was known for his patient fishing strategy on the Brooks River. Not like most of them. You see them standing there, swiping, chasing, whatever.
Yep. His technique was amazing.
He would sit there with his floppy ear, missing worn teeth, and just sit there and let the fish come to him.
Who got close enough to him to figure out that he had missing and worn teeth?
Not me. His name was Bert.
Somebody also very brave note, or somebody we'd like, very
we'd like to note Bert. The missing of the passing of Bert. Otis, known as 480 Otis, he's a brown bear, floppy right ear, worn teeth. He's patient. His personality was described as patient, calm, Zen master. Fishing style: sits in a shallow pool, scooping salmon instead of chasing them in the main current. Apparently, it worked.
He got the fattest.
Yeah, won Fat Bear Week 4 times, became an unofficial symbol of the event and the conservation efforts at Katmai. The Katmai Conservancy has established a fund in his honor to support conservation efforts for bears and salmon in the area. He's not been seen since the 2024 season, and his disappearance highlights and his aging and the dangers for older bears.
I think his disappearance was a little bit overlooked. I remember them mentioning him. Hey, where's Otis? Where's Otis? Yeah. They kept waiting for him to show up, but then there was the bear murder. The bear-on-bear predatory attack, where was it? Bear 469 killed bear 402.
Well, and there's bears, a couple of, Grazer. Her two cubs got swept down the river, and Chunk, 32 Chunk, killed one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway. You will be remembered fondly, Otis. So, if you go to explore.org/fat-bear-week, or just Google
Fat Bear Week.
I like to give the options. You can meet the bears, find out the names and the stats of all the bears participating, get some tips on which bears to vote for, and get your bracket, see the schedule and the matchups and the results. They've not listed all the bears for 2025 yet, but ones from last year will probably be included, like 128 Grazer, who won last year. 32 Chunk, who came in second.
That's my favorite name you've mentioned so Chunk. Far. Remember Chunk from... Chunk.
Goonies, yes. Right?
Goonies, yeah.
Hey, you guys!
Are we dating ourselves?
I don't know, Sean. Would you date yourself?
Oh, yes, most definitely.
I would not date myself. I'm going for way better than me.
At least I know what to expect from me.
That's true.
Right? There's Walker, Bucky, Gully, and then there's Bears 747,
just numbers
504, 519, 856, 901, and 909. And then there's the Junior
it's
Bears.
It's like a bad Maxwell Smart episode, right? It's like, Bear, 909, where are you?
Car 12. Junior Bears, there's 806 is yearlings, there's a 2.5-year-old, the adopted niece, and Spring Cubs. So if you go online, see the matchups each week, make your votes, get your friends in on it, and have some fun. Again, just Google Fat Bear Week to get more info on it and get involved. It's a lot of fun. On that note, Alan.
What?
This is all about you now, buddy.
Shit.
We had to do that. He was here as a guest. Yes. I'm glad you're manning the quarters.
Uh-oh, I think I ran out of quarters. Let's talk Paddlepalooza.
All right, cool. Yeah, it's been a busy few weeks. So Paddlepalooza was the weekend after Labor Day, so second weekend of September, up at, not to go all dramatic after just talking about Fat Bear Week, but Paddlepalooza is hosted at Kildare Provincial Park. How did we miss that segue?
Speaking of dead bears... Sorry, guys. I'm on swear jar duty, not segue duty.
He's distracted.
I'm distracted. Oh, I'm
disappointed myself. I should have. Dang it.
Anyway.
Yes. Anyway, so yes. Paddlepalooza, it's an event that's been put on for the last 13 years by Ontario Sea Kayak Center, based out of Parry Sound. And they bring together coaches from all over Canada and participants from all over... Well, in fact, no, sorry, I misspoke. They bring instructors from all over Canada and America.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Midwest instructors come up. And also paddlers from all over Ontario and America and at times beyond. That was before they started it 13 years ago. It was called Ontario Greenline Camp, and the first one of those was in 2010 up in the Muskoka areas as well. And it's essentially just, it's a late season event to kind of just get paddlers together and all sorts of different disciplines and instructional things. You can learn to roll, you can learn to brush up your strokes, you can do a beginner all day clinic, and rescues are an important part. You know, playing on your boat, just getting in and out of your boat, being, and by boat I mean kayaks, not none of those canoe things. You know.
And stand up paddleboardy people.
No stand up paddleboardy people. And yeah, so it's a great event. I went there as a vendor this year and as a prize giveaway-er. But Tamara, my partner, she came and she had a fantastic time. She did three different clinics, Friday afternoon and a couple on Saturday. And it rained most of the weekend, and it was cool most of the weekend. The weather absolutely sucked, but it was an absolutely awesome event.
Well, considering you're in the water anyway.
Yeah, if you're doing a clinic, it's fine. But if you're at a booth and you're worried about your stuff getting wet,
yeah
it kind of sucks.
Yeah.
And it's cool. And if we were, well, I shouldn't say we were prepared, because I hope she didn't listen to this, but halfway up to Parry Sound, knowing it's going to be the rainiest weekend of the summer, Tamara goes, and you don't have to put a quarter in this time because it's, I'm paraphrasing. She said, oh, shit. I said, what? She goes, I forgot my rain jacket. I didn't say nothing. I just turned and looked at her. Like, the rainiest weekend of the year.
I guess you're buying a rain jacket.
So we stop in Parry Sound, go to Mark's. We didn't go to the White Squall because we'd been there the previous weekend. There was nothing that she liked anyway. So, and she wasn't going to buy an expensive rain jacket to replace her at-home expensive rain jacket. So we go to Mark's Workwear, see if there's anything on sale. Nothing. We go to Walmart. Nothing in ladies. So we go to the boys' section. Well, isn't there a beautiful extra-large boys that actually fit her very nice? So for $30 and... no tax, because it's a kid's item.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, quite fair chuffed. Yeah, so if you can fit in boys' clothing, Sean, no tax.
Do they make clothing for boys 6 feet tall?
No. That doesn't. Anyway, so we got all suited out and got to Killbear. Yeah, it was a fun weekend. Like I said, they maxed out at 100 participants.
Okay.
So they want a really good coach to attendee ratio. And I think they had 24 coaches. And like I said, they're from the U.S. Midwest, a lot from Ontario. We had them from the opposite ends of Canada. We had Jared come in. He runs Cloud9 Adventures in Prince Edward Island. And Lee's over on the West Coast. And he's from Best Coast Outfitters and Kayak Construction. And
I saw Tim was
Vancouver
there.
Island. What's that?
Tim was there.
Which Tim?
Galloway?
No, he didn't make it this year.
Did he not?
He'd
make
been
it?
There in years past. I was surprised not to see him this year.
I thought he was there this year.
No.
Oh.
That's what I saw. And okay. I saw everybody.
Huh?
I saw everybody many times. So, yeah, no, there must be something at something else.
Something else?
There was the same weekend, there's the Michigan Traditional Skills Gathering. That might be where he is.
Because he's up from over the border there, right?
Yeah, that's like a two-hour drive for him versus
six
or seven. So, no, it was a great weekend. I had a bunch of new products. Yeah, here comes the whole me plugging me now.
You do it?
I had a whole bunch of new products for Kingdom Outdoor. Lost a couple of products over the last year or so because people were tired and lost vendors. But bringing in a bunch of... Greenland paddles from Denmark, the Graham paddles, they're doing really well. People are getting really good response.
That's the
with them.
Composite?
Yeah, the carbon fiber composite, two-piece, three-piece. And also Wetman Equipment, which is this guy in southern England. He's an industrial designer by trade, and he's also a passionate paddler. Came from the whitewater world, then into the Sea Kayak Ontario world. Sea Kayak world. We'll talk about Sea Kayak Ontario later. Sea Kayak world. And he just takes... already existing product that's out there and goes, well, I can do this better, and then goes and does it, and has created a kind of a shop in southern England where he makes all this cool stuff, and now I'm a vendor of his. And one thing he's doing is, like, what's the color of every hatch cover on every kayak you've ever seen?
Black.
Yeah. So now we get red, yellow, green, blue, black, and orange. So you can... light up
color
your...
color match your canoe, or...
you can color match
contrast?
Kayak.
Kayak.
Derek. Do two for that one. Yeah, you can color match it. Or like Steve Wetman, that's the guy's name who makes these. He goes, let's say you're on a trip, a group trip, and you're the instructor or whatever, or you're in charge of the first aid kit. You have a red hatch cover for where the first aid kit is.
You know,
the guy is in charge of the water, well, it's under his blue hatch cover.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just the way, you can color match your boat, or just like, the world needs more color right now. It needs more pleasant, you know, it just needs more brightness. So it's just a good way to do that, and it's, you know, good talking point so people can say, hey, that's a cool blue hatch cover. Where did you get it?
Mm-hmm.
And they can say, well, I got it at Kingdom Outdoor Products.
I have no idea. It was a Christmas gift.
So I had really good reaction to a lot of that product. It was new to a lot of people. The vendor was new to a lot of people. And people could see that it was quite good quality and stuff. Another great thing about this event this year, for the first time, I think, they gave away a kayak, a brand new P&H kayak, plastic kayak. A lady named Lisa from Kitchener area, I think. She won it. Actually paddled with her yesterday, which we'll get into that in a little bit. I gave away one of the new paddles. I gave away a set of hatch covers. And so 100 people standing in front, and it's like, draw the name. Or before we drew the name for the person who was going to win the hatch cover, I was like, okay, you can get any color you want. I'm going to outfit your whole boat. You can't get black. And everybody's like, why not? I'm like, because the world needs more color in the world. And I need people asking you, where'd you get that hatch cover at? So somebody won a set of hatch covers. And there's also a set of prizes given away from other vendors as well. Northwater and Coquitat donated a bunch of dry suits for people to wear for the rolling clinics and rescue clinics and stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah, no, it was a great event. I think a lot of people got very waterlogged, but very happy. So.
Cool. And, that's up on Georgian Bay.
Correct.
Which is nice and cool this time of year, I'm thinking.
It's not too bad. So I was up there the weekend before that, and get your quarter ready. Holy shit, was it crisp. last weekend, it wasn't as bad, but we had been up there after about 3 days of north wind, so the bay kind of flipped a bit, brought some cold water to the surface. So last weekend, it wasn't too bad. I only really put my hand in because it was pretty cool and chilly and rainy, so I wasn't going swimming.
So it's a two-day event.
Three. So is the regular event is Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, but you have the option to make it a three-day event.
Right, and that's more focused. So on the Saturday, Sunday, the ratio is probably 6-1. On the Friday, the ratios are a lot tighter.
Mm-hmm.
So all the instructors are there, and there's only half the participants.
Right.
So it could have been, depending on which course you were doing, you could have been 2-1, 3-1.
That's pretty cool. Right.
Yeah, especially if you're doing something you really want to focus on. You want a lot of one-on-one attention, like rolling or rescues or strokes and stuff like that. So,
well, I know some of the previous clinics have been beginner paddling strokes and rescues, self rescues or partner rescues, navigation and trip planning, kayak camp cooking skills. Because that's one thing you really don't hear a lot about. We always hear about the canoe tripping, but you don't really hear about the kayak tripping.
No, because it's a different beast, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, our stove, everything has to fit in the kayak.
Yeah.
You know?
Under those fancy colored hatch covers.
Which you get from where, Sean?
Kingdom Outdoor Product.
Yes!
I'm there for you, buddy. Everything's got to fit in your hatches, right? And but, I mean, you're not looking at portaging and everything usually either.
No. So, weight isn't as much an issue,
depending
on your kayak.
Just space.
But it's space, because everything... You know, our sleeping bags are the same size as yours. Our tents are the same size as yours. But so you're looking for not quite the hiking kind of minimalist attitude, but you're
pretty close,
far off it.
Yeah.
So
they have maneuvering tricks, edging, and kayak ballet. Kayak play for improved balance. Learn to roll a kayak. That's got to be one of the most popular ones, I would think.
Oh, it totally is. And it's the one that anybody I ever know that goes and does something like that, I'm like, do a pool clinic in the winter. Because no matter how much you've been around your water your whole life or whatever, being under a cool lake, it trapped into a kayak with the skirt and stuff, it
freaks you out.
It freaks you out a little bit. Whereas you go in the pool, So you don't have to worry about the cold. You don't have to worry about the dark because it's bright. You can see your instructor's legs standing right beside you. And it just takes a lot of those kind of uncomfortable aspects of it.
You're not worried about being attacked by a fish.
Exactly. But everybody who wants to roll goes to these things want to do it. And they think they can roll in one session. It's like, it took me 2 years, but I'm also fat, so. I'm fat bear number 197.
Okay. There you go. and this is why I thought Tim would be there this year, especially because intermediate and advanced Greenland skills.
Yeah.
Sculling for support and re-enter and roll and many, many others. Because right. he's been to Greenland for content, like these games and all that.
Yeah.
Because I remember when we were talking to him at the Quiet Adventure Symposium a few years back, he was talking about going there and one of the events was harpooning.
Oh.
You had to throw a harpoon from your Greenland kayak. Yeah.
And you have to get it through. They have like hula hoops out, you know, 50 yards or however yeah. yard it is. There's a series of hoops they have you have to hit. So it's not easy. I've done it. I've thrown a harpoon a number of times. It's not easy. And to keep your balance while doing it.
Right? Not happening. No.
it's fun.
Right? They did have something here on their page about Ontario, Greenland camp and traditional skills.
Yeah.
Traditional paddling skills are where all the knowledge that we share today started. So that was that when you were talking about like 10 years ago or 15 years ago. 2010,
15
yeah.
years ago.
Yeah. You know, yeah, and if you're looking to learn some traditional or Greenlandic paddling skills, this is the event for you. We've been sharing these skills since 2007 and have traditional skills to learn to roll classes throughout Paddlepalooza. So, yeah, Tim and was James there this year?
Yeah, well, James owns Ontario Sea Kayak Center, right? So he's the grand poobah up there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. They've both been to Greenland to compete in the National Greenland Kayak Championships.
Yeah, so those are the guys. I'm not sure how Tim did, but James has won quite a few medals with that. Him and another guy from Vancouver Island went over probably in 2015, maybe. They built a couple skin-on-frame boats, put them in a crate, and had them shipped over and went over and competed, and they both won quite a few medals. So.
Those are the guys you want teaching you. Because they're going to know all the little extra tips that your regular person isn't going to teach you.
No, James is a fantastic teacher. Everybody there, like a friend of James and Tim's, Cam from Michigan, he was there teaching rolling. They had Lady Dorothy, I don't know so well, but I was watching her for a bit, and she knows her stuff, and quite a few others. And Mike from Stony Creek, he was there teaching rolling. Like a lot of people teaching rolling because a lot of people want to do rolling because it's fun and it's cool and chicks dig it.
Nobody really teaches you how to panic properly while upside down in the boat.
You want to know something? When I was an instructor back 2009, 2010, I remember standing next to somebody for a good 10, 15 minutes just talking them into not drowning themselves when they go over. They were crying. They were blubbering. They were panicked. They just thought that it's the end of the world. But in order to pass the course, they knew they had to do it. But it just filled them with this fear, and you just sit there and tell them. We demonstrate it for them, and usually we go in extra long. Well, usually back in the day when I used to do it, we used to do it twice. We'd go in, we would do it properly. You know, you roll over, you reach up, you bang on your kayak three times, just like we do a whistle three times, right, to get someone's attention, and then you extricate yourself from your kayak. And we would I'd ask people, hold your breath while I'm doing this.
So you know.
Pick 6-7 seconds. And then I would do it super slow, 15, 18 seconds, right? Just to show them that you can hold your breath a heck a lot longer than you think you can. Mm-hmm. So, but a lot of people, yeah, they just, again, that lake, it's dark. You know, even with someone standing beside you, it's with the skirt on, it just fills them with panic. I've had people, like, sometimes with people like that, when it's, like, going to fill them with panic, we would have them do a wet exit without a skirt on. Their hair don't even get wet. They're going over, and they're already pushing
they're
themselves
already
out of the kayak, right? So, anyway, it's good when you have a success like that somebody that's just filled with fear, and then they do it, and they're like, well, that was easy.
right? Mm-hmm. And now they just travel everywhere upside down.
Yeah. One thing they did do at Death, and I got a video of it. I'll post it on the Paddling Adventures Radio Facebook page, is that they had an upside down kayak race.
Oh, really?
Like submarine races, but you can see half the boat. Yeah. So on the end of the day, on day two on Saturday, a bunch of them who were very experienced, James and Cam from Michigan and a couple of the other guys, they did do a bunch of Greenland paddle demos. And James did a beer roll.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure we've seen that, where you go over with that beer in one hand, you put it on top of your kayak, and then you hand roll up while keeping the beer without spilling it. And then they all lined up and did, four of them lined up and did a kayak race. And the one who won the kayak race was James, using one of my new Graham paddles.
That you can get from
Kingdom Outdoor Products.
And Paddlepalooza is the same time every year.
I believe so. Second weekend, and the weekend after Labor Day. Because historically, when they started as Ontario Greenland Camp back in 2010, for the first number of years, they would use kids camps.
Okay.
Right? So kids aren't there anymore. They're all in school. The camp staff are usually still there closing stuff down, and they get an extra week out of the weekend out of the camp. But what they're finding with the Ontario Greenland Camp, they're doing these small camps, is it's pretty defined to flat water, calm water skills.
Right.
Whereas moving it out to Kilbear Provincial Park on the shore of the Georgian Bay, you can get the calm water stuff, but you can also go out and find some moving water and some rougher stuff as well.
Some waves,
and that's how it developed from Ontario Greenland Camp to just the general Paddlepalooza, because they're missing the... They're only getting the people that are interested in the Greenlandic skills, not just the general paddlers. So,
well, if you're paddling Georgian Bay, you're going to need to know both, right? So you might as well go up there and learn both. Sounds like a good time was had, though.
It was a lot of fun, a lot of laughs, even despite the cool and the wet. But
Tamara learned a few things.
She did. She had a good weekend. She slept all the way home. She's tired, sore.
And you didn't do any paddling at all?
Those kind of weekends, it's like my day job, right? I'm a tour guide, for those who are new here. You're on all day. So with these kind of events, when I set up a booth,
you guys know
when you're at the Outdoor Adventure Show and a quiet adventure, all you're doing is walking around and talking 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 and talking. And with good intention, you probably want to do so much more than you actually end up doing. And it's as fun and as awesome as it is, it can be tiring just, doing that. So I brought my boat and brought my gear. Saturday afternoon, I probably could have nipped out for an hour or two. But no, I was on sales duty, and then hubby take care of boat and lunch duty on Saturday. So it, take Tamara out to the beach, get her all set up, and off she go, find out what clinic she's in, get her all sorted out, go back to the booth, get it all straightened out, hang out for a little bit, cook lunch, bring it back down the
apparently
beach.
Alan knows his place.
Yeah. So I had my honey-do list as well. it was a good weekend, and
good.
So that we can segue into the next subject, a lot of people from that also came out yesterday for my Facebook group, which I've mentioned before. It was our 5th anniversary.
Woohoo!
On September 2nd. Whoop, whoop. So that group is Sea Kayak Ontario. And so I just posted it earlier this summer that we're going to do a paddle out to Mohawk Island on Lake Erie, which is near Dunnville, which is like the catfish capital of Ontario or something like that. And so a lot of people from Paddlepalooza also attended that, with 33 of us paddled out to Mohawk Island yesterday.
A big old gang of yous.
There was a throng.
A throng.
A gaggle. I think a group of kayaks. I think we typically call it as a gaggle.
A gaggle of kayaks? A throng? With an R, not just a thong?
Maybe
a thong
like,
of
maybe
kayaks?
Maybe like crows. Maybe we're a murder of kayaks.
There you go. Kayaks. A flotilla.
Yeah.
It's getting closer.
Sounds too organized.
Right? Well, it's that. It's Alan. It's Alan. It's just partly organized.
It's partially
organized. We was organized.
I love putting together paddles. I hate organizing, being responsible for people and paddles.
Well,
and
funny you should mention that.
Oh, did I just accidentally segue us into something?
No, but I checked out the Facebook page event thingy.
When me and John asked you when we were in Bob Cajun if you were coming.
I was going to hope to, but.
John called you out yesterday. He's like, Sean said he was busy this weekend, but I saw on Facebook he's doing blankety blank. He could have come. Or
this
something
weekend?
Like
oh,
that.
No, I was doing a whole bunch of work stuff this weekend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. He knew you weren't doing something you could have
come. I wasn't paddling, that's for sure.
That's for sure.
I didn't even get in my canoe.
All right. What was the accidental segue?
You are responsible for you.
Yes. That's what I said.
This is a paddle for like-minded and able-skilled sea kayakers only, and your participation is your choice, your responsibility. No company or entity, including Facebook, and any company or an entity, any paddler on this paddle owns or is associated with, is responsible for your safety and well-being.
I like that.
That means don't sue Kingdom Outdoor Products.
No, and where you can get your new Graham kayak paddled and colored.
This came up a number of years ago with Paddle Canada and Paddle Canada adjacent things. Like, as an instructor, you know, there's a certain liability you have when you lead a group paddle. And, you know, so essentially, we're not as bad as America, obviously, with how litigious we are. But also, a lot of people just threaten, well, if I go on a group, if I organize a group paddle, I take a bunch of people out to Lake Erie to Mohawk Island, somebody dies, it's like, your family's going to sue me. I'm like, no, it's Canada. There's all sorts of laws against that. And there is, but it can also get expensive and complicated defending against that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that's just me being lawyerly me.
There is a thing, I got to say, 8 years ago where people started making a bit of it never went anywhere, but on canoe trips, somebody has to be denoted as the leader.
No. Yeah. Like
it's no, there's like eight of us that go. We're all the same. No one, we do the same trip every year.
And I tell people, if I think you don't have the experience or the equipment, I will make it awkward and I will ask you not to attend this paddle.
Right?
Like,
well, that's what you say here. No wreck boats or inflatables. Yeah. Please do not ask me to ask you not to take part.
Did you say that properly?
Please don't make me ask you not to take part.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay. Yes. Don't ask me to ask you to ask me to ask you.
I just want a fun paddle.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't want to have to worry about a bunch of bullshit.
And you also don't want to be responsible for other people's entertainment, other people's... You are responsible for...
He said BS.
That's an... It wasn't even a swear.
It doesn't matter. I have any excuse.
Sean has too many quarters. He's trying to use them all up.
It's you want everybody to have fun out there. You don't want somebody ruining it.
You don't
want to
be responsible for other people's fun, though.
Yeah.
I didn't have fun because Alan didn't entertain me. It's like, what? Wait. It's your responsibility to entertain yourself.
You know, and I find a lot of times, and it talked to talked about this to a couple people yesterday about this. When I do these big group paddles, which I've done before, like 33 is like, I've done that before. I've done a night paddle with 35 one time. I'll never do that again. I often find myself paddling alone a lot because it's like I invite all these diverse groups of people that all come from different little, areas of Canada. Well, yesterday we had people from Canada, America, and Iceland. A person from Iceland was there.
Oh, wow.
And they're here visiting a friend. And quite often it's like, well, most of them know me. They haven't seen you in a while. So they're paddling with them. And then I'm off on my own going, where's all my friends?
We talk to Alan all the time.
Exactly, right? And I love that. I love just being the conduit. And I think I've talked about this with you guys before about guiding the Niagara trip. Just being the conduit to get people to something that's really freaking cool. And that's where I thrive. I had cake. I went to Costco and got a big, massive cake. So we had that after. People dug that. I think 33 people came out. I think probably 28 of them were for cake. you know, and it was just a fun day. And it's not a very hard paddle. You put in at Port Maitland, right at the bottom of the Grand River. It's about a 6K paddle out to the lighthouse. The lighthouse for most of the summer is a bird nesting area.
Right.
So it's ripe. It was ripe. We had to walk as far upwind on, and it's only maybe 100 meters by 100 meters.
Slip slidey. Right?
It wasn't so much a slip slidey, just descent. There's a lot of goose poop, but just descent. You know, you can tell there's been cormorants there or whatever. It just so to eat lunch, we had to go to the south end of the island because we had a south wind on just to get away from the
stench. Yeah, I wouldn't even eat my lunch there.
Some people were talking. John Brower's like, I'm not eating my lunch right now. And at one point, we were going to bring the cake to the island. I'm so glad we didn't. But we were going to put it in John's. He brought his Delta CAC, which has a big back hatch. But it didn't quite fit. Costco is massive cake. They're like, oh, yeah. $25.
Yeah. Yeah. When Costco came to Canada, Costco cake with buttercream icing was the go-to cake for every event. Birthdays, anniversaries. Because there was... Like, you're eating that thing for, like, a week because there's so much leftover cake. Oh, so good, though.
It is. It was.
Yeah. It is. It was. I'm still eating some.
It was a fun day. It was a really fun day.
So, Mohawk Lighthouse, no matter how you get to it, is 2 kilometers offshore. Lighthouse that is in ruins and stood originally as an 18-meter or 59-foot-tall stone cylindrical tapered tower with an integrated rectangular lighthouse keeper's residence built between 1846 and 48. Lighthouse is lacking some of the original features, including the lantern and the roofs. For the tower and dwelling, it's located on Mohawk Island near Rock Point Provincial Park, so if you want to go out and check that out on Lake Erie. Mohawk Island Lighthouse is an excellent example of the development of navigational aids on Lake Erie, closely associated with the early history of the Welland Canal. Didn't know that, did you? Lighthouse was...
No, in fact, I'm going to interrupt you. Somebody asked me yesterday, like, what's the history of this? And I just looked at him. I'm like, looked over at the lighthouse. I said, well, a bunch of years ago, a bunch of guys built it. A long time later, a bunch of guys decommissioned it.
Don't know much else. Here we are.
Thank you, Sean, for Googling more about it.
Oh, not a problem. It was specially erected to warn of the dangers of an offshore shoal and to direct traffic to and from the southern end of the canal. Mohawk Island Lighthouse is one of the few surviving lighthouses of the era of the Great Lakes. Its combined tower and keeper's dwelling speak to the light-keeping tradition at remote locations in the 19th century. The Mohawk Island Lighthouse is an excellent example of the socio-economic development of the region. Construction of the Welland Canal in 1829 and its subsequent improvements through to the 1840s was the most important factor in the development of the area. The lighthouse supported the industries that flourished with the opening of the canal by ensuring the safety of passing ships. For more information on this, and more lighthouses.
And when was it decommissioned?
That I don't know.
Back in the summer of 69.
Was it really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I just looked that up.
See?
There was a fire in 69 that... destroyed the mechanisms. It was replaced that same year by a simple navigation buoy.
See?
Everybody can be replaced by a tin can floating in the lake.
Funny, Tamara says that about you. So, excuse me. You go to the same one every year, or you find a different spot every year?
No, that's the first, like, anniversary paddle we've had for SeaKayak Ontario. I've been there 3 times, 4 maybe. Last time I was there was November 14th, 2020. Time before that was, I forget. Or no, we were there September 2021 as well. Before that, it was November 14th, 2020. And I forget when before that. So I've been several times. If the lake is calm, it's a super easy paddle.
And there's not much to see there except a lighthouse.
Yeah, it's just a neat destination because you come out of the Grand River, you turn left, and there's the headland, which is Rock Point, Provincial Park, mm-hmm. Rock Creek Provincial Park, Rock Point Provincial Park. And then once you go around that headland, it like literally is off probably 2 kilometers away, and it like kind of floats above the lake.
Right,
it looks like an apparition in the distance. It's really cool approach, and like Lake Erie can pick up in a minute, yes. Right? So it's nice to start heading out there in the morning because you're going west to east, and then in the afternoon generally you have a little bit of conditions coming home, which is a little bit fun. When we were out there November 14th, 2020, we went out and probably 1 foot chop, and coming back, we're in 1 to 2, the odd 3 foot of chop. And if we'd gone out there following day, November 15th, my birthday, drop that in there, there was 20 foot waves hitting.
Really?
Along shoreline, because the wind picks Lake Erie up. It's the shallowest of the Great Lakes, and it can get pretty gnarly pretty quick. So
you don't want to be out there when the gales of November come early?
No.
Yeah.
No. Is that 3 songs we referenced already tonight?
For those keeping score at home. So maybe next year I won't be doing something, and I can actually attend if you do it again.
I probably won't do it again.
Oh, now that I've
seen
it.
Not an anniversary paddle, because I think I'm fine with those kind of things. It's like you start doing it every year, and it's like it starts at 33, then it's 29, then by like then it's like you and two buddies, you know?
That sounds like a bad thing.
I guess that'd be us three.
Yeah, the three are going
in. It's like I'd rather do other stuff, you know? I don't know. I've had a lot of people badgering me about doing some sort of other night paddle, or I don't know if I've ever talked about it on this show, but there's something about Mary Paddle.
Oh,
have I talked about that before?
Well, Mary Paddle?
But I don't remember.
Mary, there's a grotto, the Virgin Mary Grotto, McRae Lake. You know, okay, McRae Lake, yeah. Just north of Honey Harbor, where McRae Lake meets Georgian Bay. Up on the hillside there's a grotto, and it's got a statue of the Virgin Mary
there.
And again, that's another good one. We usually do that anytime I've done that. It's been after Thanksgiving, once all the
Thanksgiving. My birthday. Just dropped that in there.
What's that?
My birthday. Just dropped that in there.
All right, so we don't make him feel like he's left out. When's your birthday, Derek?
It's in June.
Mark your calendars, people. It's in June. What date in June?
June 29th.
Okay.
Okay, so now I can refer to this to remember.
I've done that a bunch of times. It can be mostly sheltered as well, so mm-hmm. even if Georgian Bay is picking up, because you go in at Honey Harbor and you go up through past Beausoleil Island National Park,
mm-hmm.
Through there, and I guess that's Georgian Bay Islands National Park on Beausoleil Island, and it's just a neat paddle with a neat destination.
Yeah,
you know, so I've led some pretty big groups out to that too. So, but
you could do it. Also,
it can pick up there too. So we've had that in some pretty gnarly conditions as well. There's one time we had a group of 20 odd people, and it's like I probably should have turned this back at some point.
Note to self: if you're going out with Alan, yeah, be prepared. Things happen.
Yeah. No, nothing ever happens.
But the possibility. Yeah.
No, come on now. We've talked about it. Well, you mentioned it in last episode or recent episode about I'm pretty good at risk management.
You listen to our shows?
I have. I don't know. I've been bored lately.
It was accident. It was an accident.
No, I think I listened to... When did I listen to that?
That was a
Well, no, I listened to the one you coming back from Japan.
Yeah.
And so I listened to that. And I listened last week too. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Probably because I was done playing another podcast and it automatically
clicked in. Hey, you might like this one if you like that one.
And I was distracted and didn't notice, and I was like, ah, shit, I'm 7 minutes in. I might as well listen to the rest of it. So, and
we're up you mentioned $40
like three
now.
Times last week, so how could I not? It's a good thing I listened to
right? We just like to mention people.
I know.
Maybe if we mention him enough, he'll show up, right? Yeah, his Alan guy.
Yeah, Alan Drummond's the guy that you want to name drop.
Right? Well, I mean, he does own Kingdom Outdoor Products. And he does have those Graham composite kayak paddles. They're from the Greenland kayak paddles. You know what else he's got? is these really colorful
hatch covers.
Hatch covers for your kayak.
Yeah. Rainbow bright, baby.
There you go, baby. speaking of paddling.
Uh-oh.
What? You were on a trip.
I was.
On Georgian Bay.
My first in quite some time. Way too long to admit how long it's been. I've been dying to get Tamara out since she joined me in the paddling or paddling adventure 3 years ago. And finally, everything came together. And it was looking like it wasn't going to because the weather was looking pretty sketchy for Labor Day weekend up there. Georgian Bay. High winds. This was to be high winds and cooler temperature. Like Labor Day. I don't know what you guys did Labor Day weekend, but it was... wasn't supposed to be as warm as it could be up there.
Oh, but, see this leather couch down here? Yeah, that's what I was doing.
You're moving?
I had to bring Labor it Day down. Weekend? Yeah, we're moving Mackenzie's stuff into here.
Right, so. Okay.
Yeah, so that was my Labor Day weekend.
Sorry, I went to the bay.
We're you supposed suck, to go, man.
We had wanted to go up Thursday morning to Sunday. So to avoid the Monday traffic coming yep. home, but the weather was looking a little sketchy on Thursday, and that was fine because I just wasn't ready. Like I said, I had to check the stoves and clean the water filters and get them all cleaned up and clean all the pots and pans and dishes and, you know, all the stuff you have to do with your camp gear when you've ignored it for too long.
Okay, so just to cut in for a second here, how many people here, out of the three of us... At the end of a trip, they make breakfast that day before packing up and say, I'll just wash these at home.
No.
And then next season,
you oh, no.
All those who've done that, raise
I'm
your
gonna,
hands.
I'm going to take a guess and think, one only, yes, yes, only one hand is raised right here. Sean.
I didn't know you did that before, Derek.
Did you scrape the penicillin off and eat it after?
No, I just threw the pan out.
No, it's funny because the week before... Like, Tamara's never been on more than a day paddle with me, right?
Right.
And so the week before, she was like, what do we do? I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, well, what do we do all day? I'm like, well, we're, you know, we wake up earlier than we do at home because the sun's blaring on the tent and the tent heats up super quick. And then we get up and we cook breakfast and then we wash dishes. And then maybe we'll go for a paddle and we'll stop somewhere and we'll have shore lunch and then we'll come back and we'll cook dinner and we'll do dishes and then we'll pack everything in the kayaks and make it all beer proof and go to bed. She's like, that's it? I'm like, nah, you might read a page or two of a book in there. Maybe we'll scrounge for some firewood and watch a pretty sunset, but yeah, that's pretty much it.
Go for a swim.
And that oh, no, we went for a swim. That did not last long. Holy cow, was it cold. See these bulges in my throat? Those are my testicles. Still there. Oh, it was chilly, all right. So, but no, we had a blast. Yeah, so we went up Friday, stopped in Perry Sound. We didn't need a rain jacket. She brought that time. But we did go to the Trestle. You ever been to the Trestle
no.
Brewing Company in Perry Sound? Fantastic place for lunch. Overlooks yeah. the Trestle in Perry Sound. Got great beer. Stopped there for lunch and a couple last minute things at the grocery store. And put in, I think we're on the water by noon. Paddle maybe 10K. Found a little island with nobody on it. Pitched our tent. Made dinner, went to bed. No.
So this is Georgian Bay.
Georgian Bay, yeah.
Explain the topography of Georgian Bay.
Rocks.
Well, there's more than one island and less than 30,000 one islands.
And they're all
so
rocks.
We're all in the middle of the 30,000. So Georgian Bay is a whole collection of rocks, some of them just sticking just above the waterline, some of them a little bit more, some with nothing on it, some with forests on it. We were in an area that we call, referenced as the Cunninghams. It's near Britt, which is about 45 minutes north of Perry Sound, just about Point of Barrel.
Mm-hmm.
So we went up there. Britt's about 6K up the river whose name I forget. It's right across the river from Bing Inlet. So we put in at Britt, right at a place called Ice Cream on the Rocks. Little ice cream shack. Guy's got a little trailer park there. And charges like $10 a day parking. It's fantastic. Paddle 6K out the river, past all the nice cottages with like running water and flush toilets and stuff. And boom, you're in the bay. You're in the middle of the 30,000 islands. And Brit is kind of a right smack dab in the middle between Killarney and like Parry Sound, right. Midland area and that. And at, yeah, you can go left or right. We went. We were going to go up. I had no particular destination in mind. I've been up there a number of times before, so I knew a few islands we could...
Crown land.
...look for. It's all Crown land.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of the islands do have cottages on it, like the biggest Cunningham Island. It's got a cottage on one side, but a bunch of campsites on the other. Quite a large island, probably 300 or 400 meters by 100, 200 meters.
Mm-hmm.
So, quite large. We found one that was probably 100 meters by... 50 meters, little forest on it, and pitched our tent, got everything set up, found a little nice spot for a little kitchen area, and got the boat secured, and yeah, hung out for 2 days.
What more do you need?
I walked around. Sorry, Derek?
What was the water levels like? Like, because I've been hearing that...
Low. They were low. Yeah. I was remarking that as we're paddling between, because, so, a lot of times Tamara asks, where are we going? I just kind of point, right? And she's like, but they're the effing island in the way. I'm like, yeah, but we have to go around 27 more islands. And they can be a meter above the water to quite large. And it's kind of fun to snake through them.
Oh, yeah.
It is a lot of fun. And it's funny, we got on the island and I'm just kind of walking around. You know, it's like we're trying to find a place for latrine. Like, let's go find where we're going to go latrine, right? So we're all going kind of in the one direction. And so we find where that's going to be. And she walks back to camp and get her book or whatever. And I'm walking around and I see this massive bear scat.
Oh!
like, it's like Kamai River bear size bear scat, right? And I get a stick and I kind of poke it. It's dry. Right?
Okay.
And it's a small enough island that I'm like, okay, a bear swam out here, got all the food off of it, and he's buggered off somewhere else.
Right.
And we're getting later in the season. They're probably all on the mainland foraging and that and finding their den for the winter and all that. They're probably not out in the islands anymore. So I didn't put it... I didn't think about it again.
Yeah.
Go to bed that night, spend all day Saturday. We went up for a nice paddle all through the island. Stayed pretty close to the island. Within a couple of kilometers. We just... poked our noses in all these little nooks and crannies and these little bays, and we went up this river and saw some beautiful wildflowers and stuff, and we come back, and Tamara's now walking around the island, and I see where she is in the neighborhood. And all I hear is, Alan! And I'm like, it's dry! And she's like,
you knew?
How do you know it's dry? I'm like, I saw it 2 days ago. You didn't tell me? I'm like, of course I didn't tell you. And also that Saturday when we got back to camp, well, wasn't there a nice little northern water snake? About a meter long.
At least it wasn't a Massasauga rattler.
I wasn't sure, right? So I did try to take some pictures of it, but the sun was such that I didn't get a clear picture of it. But as soon as I walked up on shore, it swam away. And again, I might have forgot to mention that, the whole snake thing to somebody. And it also, and as I learned this later, it swam under the water.
Oh, okay.
Massasaugas.
They float. Yeah, they're
They stay on surface level.
Yeah.
They're like a Colombian cocaine submarine, you know, that just sits on the top of the water, right?
And you know they're poisonous, right?
You didn't see that coming on your podcast tonight, did you, Sean? the northern water snakes, I don't think are poisonous.
No,
they'll probably bite you. Oh, the Massasauga, they will F you up.
Yeah.
so I took some pictures, did some quick Googling while I could, got a kind of crappy signal out there. And I didn't think it was a Massasauga. The next day, though, Sunday, our final day, we just had breakfast, and we're just chilling at camp. Breakfast done. We're just reading our books and stuff. I was, for some reason, sitting on the ground, and all I hear is, ah! And I'm like, what? And she's just pointing. And I look behind me, meter, 2 meters away. There's a similar snake, not the same one, similar snake, skittering down towards the lake. And I just stand up and watching it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I saw his buddy yesterday. And she's like, you didn't tell me? I'm like, of course I didn't tell you.
I didn't tell you about the rhinoceroses either.
But she had a great time. I think two nights was enough for the first time out. So it was, we had a lot of fun.
Good.
Got back Sunday evening. Didn't have to fight traffic or anything.
Oh, that's the worst.
Stopped at the Thistle, or stopped at the Trestle, sorry, in Parry Sound on the way out as well. On the way in and on the way out.
Oh, wow, yeah, yeah. It's that good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do we have on the way back out? We also had it before and after Paddlepalooza, or just before? No, we had it before and after Paddlepalooza, and we just had it after our trip.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've been there three times in like the last 3 weeks.
So I guess he likes the place. Yeah,
the Reuben is phenomenal. They use a smoked meat rather than like pastrami or corned beef. The brisket's really good because they have a big smoker there. The beers are good. I had a Kentucky Common, which is like a creamed lager or something they described it as. I don't know. It's just a nice drinking beer.
So. Something a bit different?
Yeah.
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 Cool.
So, good times.
So, she enjoyed it. Now, you're going back again. You're doing a solo trip?
I am. My plan right now is to... I saw a little window in my schedule, and I haven't done an Alcation in a while. For those who are new here, I've probably talked about this before. If you know me, you know. But my Instagram handle for my personal stuff is Alcation, Alan and Vacation combined.
Mm-hmm.
I used to do a lot of them solo, and I haven't done like a solo trip in a while. So it just felt like time. The weather's supposed to be pretty good next week. So I might go up for two nights, three nights. Kind of same area. Haven't really... given it a whole lot of thought about exactly where I'm going.
But you're going to find bears and snakes.
I'm going to... Well, of course, I'm going to be out there on my own. I remember one of the very first talks I went to with Kevin Callan, and he said, you know, like, whenever you go backcountry camping on your own for the very first time, like, night one, you don't sleep at all because every single noise you hear is a massive bear.
Right.
Night two, every second noise you hear is a bear, and you only get, like, 3 hours sleep. Night three, it's like you get 5 hours sleep because you're so freaking tired from no sleep the two nights before. But day four, it's like all you're doing is sleeping because you haven't gotten any sleep all week. So even if a bear did come along camp, you're not hearing it.
Bears where they can go.
Yeah. So so I fully expect that to happen out there on my own next week. Of course, with it being that time of year, it's going to be pretty quiet out there.
That's what I think. Yeah. That's why I like doing my October Thanksgiving trips is because you get out there and the majority of the time there's nobody. Yeah.
That's
and quiet. You get nice, peace, quiet.
We saw some boats, fishing boats, and recreational boats out in the bay while we're up there, but only one other kayaker. So it surprised me. I thought there'd be more Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, you figured there'd be more people out there.
Yeah, you'd think people are heading out.
But also, the weather wasn't the greatest for that weekend, right? Mm-hmm. So it was like I think the high was forecast to be somewhere around 18. The night's quite cool. And it was supposed to be higher. Forecast was for much higher wind than what developed.
So. That would keep people away.
But down here, it was colder. Like, there was a cold snap down here.
Yeah.
I remember I woke up Saturday morning. I'm sitting in my underwear wearing a t-shirt, boiling water for a coffee. And my buddies on our group chat are all talking about, like, frost and how cold it is. I'm like... Dudes, I'm sitting up here in my freaking gitch. You know?
Well, that's why there was no bears around.
That'll keep away.
You know, and I was, like, warm. It wasn't hot, but it was definitely warm. You know, that radiated heat coming out of the rocks and this bright sun. There was barely a cloud in the sky, and it was, like, really nice.
So. Yeah, and it's nice to lay on the rocks in the evening when the sun's been beating down on it all day.
Yep.
Because it just retains that heat.
Yes.
And then the air's getting cool, but you're laying there and it's just radiating that heat. So have you guys found, over the last number of years, a lot of fair weather campers? Like, more than there used to be. The minute there's a mention of bad weather, I'm not going.
So, me and Siobhan, when it's our go-to the last couple of years because it's hard to predict things with kids and what's going on and swim programs, this, that. Anyways, we will book cancellations. You'll start looking about a week out from when we want to go. It's like we're guaranteed. It's like, oh, it's going to rain. There should be cancellations. And we'll just go in the rain, right?
Yeah.
I like rain. I don't mind that. But there's always, like, was it last year when we were at Sandbanks for our Thanksgiving thing? It rained and we had trouble booking it. We did book out early and we were looking at the reservations as we came up to it, just out of curiosity. And it was fully booked, Sandbanks, for that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got there, it was raining. And when we bicycled around the park and went for walks, it was like half empty.
Yeah.
Half empty. It was like... It was shocking because it was a fully booked weekend.
You know the problem is? Probably people don't cancel because they probably realize, I'm probably not getting my money back.
Yeah, so they won't cancel.
So they just ignore it.
Yeah.
Which sucks because then, like, the park can't book that site up because right. you exactly. may show up.
Yeah. It's still paid for, but somebody else might want to go yeah. And, yeah. and that's what we do. Like, we'll just cast the net over Southern Ontario. We don't want to go too far if it's just a weekend. And we'll just like, oh, look, there's these six sites that are now empty. And, right? Because we even on nice
camped,
weekends.
I should have had this question ready before I asked you. Up Cornwall Way, we drove through it, through the...
Long Sault Parkway?
Yeah.
Long Sault Parkway.
There's some nice, like, campgrounds yeah, yeah, yeah. right yeah. along the river right there. We drove through that when I was yep. up there for a buddy's fishing trip there a couple months ago.
Camp park there?
Yeah.
There is.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff to do in Long Sault Parkway. The parkway exists because of the Saunders Dam. So when they built the Saunders Dam, which is American-Canadian hydroelectric, they flooded, like, entire towns were underwater, right? Yeah. So there's a
lot. Five or seven of them or something?
Yeah, there's a lot. And so I've scuba'd over there. I've camped there. It's a nice area. I lived in Cornwall for a couple of years. And so the Long Sault Parkway, it's a really nice parkway. It's there's a lot to do and see there. Very interesting.
Yeah, we drove the whole parkway. It didn't take long, like 10, 15
yeah, yeah.
minutes maybe.
Yeah, it's not long.
And there's lots of little kind of bays yes, and that. Yeah. And there's nice sheltered areas where you could, even if it's windy and the river's wavy, you yeah. could go into these little bays with your pedal boat or canoe or yeah. whatever with the kids yeah. and a couple of beach areas which look nice. And it looks like a really nice area.
It's nice. So there's lots of places with park benches. It's the whole parkway is a park. Yeah, and yeah. so you can stop anywhere and have a picnic or go camping or there's I can't remember how many campgrounds there are, but there's a few. But mm-hmm. there's also lots of, like, you can scuba dive on, like, old houses or farmhouses, and cool. it's kind of weird.
The people wave as you swim yeah, yeah, on by.
And I guess it's only open, I don't think it's open in winter, because they had gates there, and said something about season, the road seasonal.
You can go for hikes there, but...
But it'd probably be a good place for, like, cross-country skiing and yeah, yeah, yeah. in the world. Yeah. It's like, especially yeah. with it being empty of cars yeah. and that, so. Mm-hmm. Neat.
It is very neat. It's a nice little area. Yeah. That would have been mid-90s when I was living there. Long time ago.
Four? We're at four?
Yeah.
And we mentioned Tom Petty. So
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah.
Five musical references.
So when I do this on YouTube, it's going to click all those things, and then we're going to get all these.
All the yeah. private. No, yeah. we were singing it. There is no way they're matching us with the real stuff.
There's times where we've mentioned, like, Johnny Cash, and then all of a sudden it says, people mentioned in this podcast, and boom, there's a picture really? Of Johnny Cash.
Really?
I'm like, when did we mention Johnny Cash on this episode?
AI that's scanning.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's hilarious, Richard yeah. Nixon.
Right? Isn't he related to Richard Simmons?
Oh, we could be here all night, Cyndi Lauper.
Right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Lots of tags.
Lots of tags. Dog tags.
All right. We only have one more page. No, two. Shit.
Coin.
Oops. Were those preemptive ones?
Just in case I missed a few of them. So, Mohawk Lighthouse we talked about, Georgian Bay trips we've talked about, do-do-do-do-do-do. Okay, so, this is just Googling stuff there.
The Google.
And as one does, sometimes you hear or read something and think, surely that's been done before. Especially in this era of, oh, we're the first to do this, and we're the first mm-hmm. to do that, and no one's ever been here before, and blah, 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 blah. And you start thinking, that's got to have been done before. So you go and you do a little bit of research yourself, and then you start looking into it and realize, maybe this is a tad different than I thought. Vancouver Island,
mm-hmm.
roughly 460 kilometers, 285 from end to end. About 1,300 kilometers or 805 miles to circumnavigate. Apparently, a Vancouver man is the first to stand up paddleboard around Vancouver Island.
Cool. I'm surprised he did it, actually. Because the Hawaii...
He probably is, too.
The Hawaii and Japan-facing side of Vancouver Island is... It can be super rough. Like, there's the... On Long Beach up near Ucluelet and Tofino... like, it's famous for its winter storms. People mm-hmm. go there and stay there because of the winter storms. Summer's going to be nicer, but you still have a very large sea swell.
It's a good surfing going on here.
Yeah, well, maybe that sup guy surfed.
Stand-up paddleboarding,
yeah. Surfed his way around.
What's up?
What's up? So, Paul Verschaer, recovering from an ankle surgery, when he made the bold decision to stand up paddleboard all the way around Vancouver Island.
I had ankle surgery. Let me stand for a couple of weeks.
Right? Oh, more than a couple of weeks. He was a yoga instructor, former nightclub owner, and had always been active.
That's very diverse.
Right. Well, depends what kind of nightclub. He was keen to do some sort of athletic challenge, taking inspiration from Terry Fox's Cross Canada Run, which this past weekend was all the Terry Fox. And yes, this year is the
40th?
Most under-marketed Terry Fox run that I can remember.
Oh, yeah?
Really? Oh, I've seen it all over the place.
I've not seen anything. They did that Adidas thing,
the Tragically Hip, did a single, Courage. They released a Terry Fox version.
This year?
This year.
Really? Like, I didn't couple see weeks ago. Anything.
Adidas, I bought a pair of the replica pairs of his shoes earlier this year. The Adidas.
Adidas?
Adidas. I forget what they're called, but it was a fundraiser for the Terry Fox Foundation.
Yeah,
usually, so as soon as I saw that, because they were limited edition, I bought a pair. And it's like, I can barely walk in these things. I can't believe he ran a marathon a day.
Yeah, but the month leading up to the run, the weekend, like you're usually seeing it, like signs and everything everywhere. I've Hold seen on, nothing.
Derek, where was Sean the month leading up to?
But still, stuff should have been here for the last 2 weeks.
You weren't in
Japan.
You weren't in country.
Yeah, I saw signs all over the place, like little road signs.
Nothing in Apex that I saw.
I saw a lot of stuff.
My wife and kids did it in Bowmanville.
Yeah, we usually do, but yeah. Anyway, he took inspiration from Terry Fox's Cross Canada Run, started making plans for a month-long paddling trip. He spent about 2 years preparing for it. Over that time, he invested in gear, training physically, and even considering finding a sponsor for the journey. In the end, I realized I was just going to do it for myself.
He couldn't find a sponsor.
Because he couldn't find a sponsor.
Yeah.
I left his home in Ladysmith, B.C. on June 25th.
Ladysmith.
Yeah.
Isn't that where Pamela Anderson's from?
It most definitely is.
There you
How'd
go.
You know that? That's amazing.
Psychic. 40 days he paddled all the way around Vancouver Island. About 1,300 kilometers total, sometimes up to 11 hours a day, carrying 40 kilograms of gear, including 10 days worth of food and 10 liters of water at a time. Because, of course, being salt water.
Your neck can't filter that.
Right?
No.
It would take all my strength to unload the board, set up camp, and cook some food. It was hard. I don't recommend it. So, what do you got to see about your trip?
Don't do it. Back to me again. So, my day job is I take people to Niagara Falls, and I talk about Annie Edison Taylor, the first lady to climb in a barrel to go over the falls in October 1901. And that's essentially what she said.
I don't recommend it.
What was something along the lines of, not the best afternoon I've had, do not recommend.
One star. Once he got back out on the water and started paddling again after his 2:45 a.m. alarm, he'd start to feel good again. He stopped in Port Hardy.
Wait a second. I'm calling BS on the 2:45 a.m. alarm every day. It would have changed. He would have went with the tide and the swell.
Yeah. Maybe that's why.
So it would...
Maybe that day was 2:45.
That particular day, where we got this info from, he's talking to the people. He got up at 2:45. Because some days he's going to be paddling at night. Other days, like, he's just going to be chilling on a beach all day long because
of the
tide and stuff was against him.
Well, don't forget, it's also a stand-up paddleboard. You can just carry it out to wherever you need to go.
It's the flow.
Yeah, but the problem with the Vancouver Island is the height of the tides are different in different parts of the island.
Yeah.
And depending on the topography, you may be walking 3 meters or you may be walking 300 meters with your board and your gear and all that through mud flats.
Well, that's a him issue.
Yeah.
Or maybe he got up at 2:45 in the morning and... hung out until.
Perhaps.
He stopped in Port Hardy and again in Tofino to gather supplies, but otherwise he only stopped at night to set up camp, cook, and sleep.
Wow.
Figures he paddled about 36 of the 40 days, having had to stop for a couple of rest days, twice more to escape bad weather. Rough waters, strong headwinds, and curious wildlife all forced the paddler to change his plans along the way. In other words, apparently at one point there was a black bear came up on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
I started my journey, really wanted to see whales, but I got to a point where I was trying to avoid them. There were so many of them, especially the humpbacks. He said they breached right next to him, which is worrisome for someone on a stand-up board with no protection and sometimes imperfect balance. Sounds like us, Derek.
Yes.
It's rewarding because even though it's challenging, no matter how fast you go, you don't miss anything. Any wildlife, every sea otter, every whale, every bear, every wolf, I saw everything along the way. Wind was a concern for Vacher, who expected tailwinds to push him around, but did not expect such strong headwinds.
The wind doesn't go this direction ever.
I begin to wonder about the planning.
I know.
I think I had a headwind 85 to 90% of the time, which meant that I had to change my route. I'd hide behind islands or go up an inlet. Why don't you just do it the other way? Get tailwinds then. Turn around, go the other way. That'd be my... At some points, the wind was blowing 35 knots, which is 65 kilometers an hour, and giant waves forced the stand-up paddler to drop to his knees for short periods of time to maintain balance. Worst of it came as he rounded Cape Scott. Do you guys know Cape Scott?
Yeah.
At the northern tip of the island, the conditions there were pretty sketchy, he says. As he paddled back into Ladysmith on August 4th, he was relieved. I had a very wonderful sense of accomplishment. And while some would take up residence on the couch for the foreseeable future after a long physical exertion like his, Vacher has been doing yoga, hiking, and paddling, enjoying every last minute of BC's warm summer weather. My legs weren't working for a week or two due to my fairly static standing position on the board all day. My glutes and quads felt like they belonged to another person once I returned to life on land, so I went hiking every day to try and get them going again.
His you would have to.
Yeah, you'd have to, right?
You couldn't just do all that and stop.
Yeah.
I'm no physiologist or, well, I'm not the healthiest, but the lactic acid feel or whatever. Like you know, it's moving through your body. And then if you just went from all that to dead stop, your body would just rebel and...
But even still, like, getting your land legs back, right?
Well, he's you know, off the boat. No, he's off every day, so...
Yeah, but you figure you're used to doing that.
Yeah.
So at some point, you're going to be going, oh, I feel like I should, like, not be on flat land.
Perhaps.
His dream paddling trip? I'd be very tempted to do the Northwest Passage.
On a sup?
Hey, West... I got a guy for you.
He can tag along.
Did you see West post the other day? He's at some like explorers convention in somewhere West Hanson. So it's in where was it? It was here. It was Ottawa. Yeah. It was in Ottawa. It's back in Canada.
Yeah.
So my comment on his post was, "Get arrested again."
Oh yeah, we outran them.
That was his reply.
That's okay, because you'd posted 2026 pictures from 2026, so I just texted him. Because I always see things like that. I always like to let people know, right? Mm. I just texted him, "You're a man ahead of your time." But then you're sitting there going, "Wait, it is 2025, right?"
Does he listen to this?
Once in a while. Hi, okay. West. West Hanson. The Arctic
they
Cowboys.
Next year they're doing it again, right?
Yes,
next
they
year they're doing it again.
Without riggers.
Right.
They're using, they're built in Hawaii. They're this similar canoes open with outriggers that they do the open ocean racing in Hawaii.
Yeah.
But it's going to be specially built with fore and aft enclosures for storing gear. It's going to be 2 5-man, 6-man. They're going to.
Oh, they're big boats.
Yeah, they're big
boats. What are they building them out of?
They're built carbon fiber. They're already built.
Yeah,
carbon fiber.
Check out his page. He's got them already on there.
All right.
They already took them for a test run.
Neat.
Yeah.
Cool.
Just a side note, people have circumnavigated Vancouver Island in kayaks already.
Including my friend Joe O'Blenis, who two times had the record. But apparently it's been broken in 2014. So he set it 2010, 16 days, 12 hours, 14 minutes. And this guy did it in how long? 40 days?
Something
so considerably less with kayak versus, but he also did it in, what kind of kayak did he do? Like, not a racing kayak per se, but a good kayak, but he did it with Greenland Paddle Boat. Because he makes Greenland paddles for a living.
So. Is he still in Manitoba?
No, no, he moved back to Thunder Bay a while
back. Did he move back to Thunder Bay?
Yeah, he's in Thunder Bay again, so.
Yeah, I know he moved out that way, and then I wasn't sure if he moved back or not.
Yeah. Yeah, he moved back, I don't know, a year ago or so.
Yeah.
I can't keep up with him. met him a couple of times. Nice guy, super nice guy. Makes a good paddle. I have one of his paddles, so. But, yeah, he's done it twice, but the current record holder by Google AI is, it was here a second ago, latest attempt, 2014, Russell Henry in 2014. And
2014?
2014 was the last time somebody was stupid enough to do it by kayak, yeah. he did it in 07, then again in 10. Sean Morley did it in 08 and broke his record in 07. Sean Morley's from English guy from the San Francisco Bay Area.
I was going to say, I knew a Sean Morley when I was in North Bay.
No, he's English heritage, but he lives in Marin County in San Francisco Bay Area. Colin Angus has done it in a rowboat in 2011. And I think he, like, destroyed O'Blenis' record. But
yeah. Has anybody done it in a canoe?
Damn, I know. What are you doing next year?
Right? What are you doing tomorrow?
Probably not. You definitely need a skirt.
So, yeah, that's Google AI's info on that. So,
alrighty,
must be accurate.
It's got to be. If it's on the internet, it's true. Yes. We all know that. and that's all I've got. You guys got anything to add?
Where are you going next?
Thanksgiving weekend, I might be doing like 5 days up in Temagami.
Cool. Gonna get lost again?
Nope.
Because they have low water this year too?
I don't know. Okay. I hope not, because that sucks.
Because that snookered you another time,
That snookered me before, yeah. Because I'm looking for this river that pretty much did not exist at that point.
Right.
And had I been there...
It wasn't as rivery as it should have been.
Yeah, it wasn't as rivery as it should have been. Yeah. It was de-riverfied.
De-riverfied. Yeah. Yes. No, I just found out recently that Guinness 0.0, which tastes remarkably like Guinness.
It's nice.
It's because they make Guinness, and then they take the stuff out of it.
Yeah.
They take the alcohol out of it. I didn't realize that. I thought they just brewed...
That's how they do all of the near beers.
Okay.
So part of the process, and there's multiple ways to do it. I looked into this. There's multiple ways to do it. One is through... it's a freeze-thaw process, and I can't remember all of them, but it does damage lighter beers, but apparently Guinness, because of its heaviness, will retain its texture and so on.
No, it...
And flavor. It's one of the better near beers that I've ever had.
But mostly stayed away from those because I'm like, if I'm going to have a beer, I'm going to have a beer.
Right.
If I'm not going to have a beer, I'm not going to have a beer. But when I was in Scotland a year and a half ago, sitting in my cousin's, having a couple beers, I had two Guinness already, and he's like, you want another? And he comes back, and halfway through my third, he's like, how's that one? I'm like, that's good, fine. And then he holds up the can. I'm like, you some bitch.
I don't know. We'll give him that one.
All right. but yeah, once I knew, I'm like, okay, there are some subtle differences, but it's still a decent product. So
yeah, just stay away from the alcohol, like the whiskeys,
and
the rums.
Oh, me and Siobhan, we were doing a dry January, so I bought a whiskey and a scotch and a tequila and they're all zero alcohol.
The alcohol.
And they were horrible.
Those are something, we've said it before, you're going over to somebody's house for a party, you bring it and stick it in their liquor cabinet. And then when they find it 6 months later, they don't know who to curse out.
You know, it's like swearing. If I'm going to swear, I'm going to swear.
Really, yeah, yeah.
If I'm on a drink, I'm going to have a drink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to walk around and say, fire truck, when I want to say... You know, and I'm not going to have a de-alkalized Crown Royal.
Well, we
won't. Oh, no, we're not allowed to drink Crown Royal right now. Oops.
That's
yeah, I'll just have something else than drink the fake stuff.
Yeah.
I don't mind a virgin, like, Bloody Caesar, Virgin Pina Colada, especially if it's coming out of the slushy machine at the bar.
Right.
I'll take one of those, but then you add in like 0% rum. No, why bother?
Yeah, and it doesn't taste right.
No.
No. So. No. Anyway. All right.
Oh, did we go off
track? On that note.
What's our time at?
1:25.
That's not too bad. I thought it was longer.
No, we can keep going longer.
No,
I told you 1 hour.
Where are you going next? What are you doing next?
I was supposed to be camping and canoeing this weekend.
All right, and hunting.
Hunting.
Birds.
And so the boys are up there now.
They're up there already?
I didn't know you hunted. That was the first time I ever heard you hunted.
I don't do it a lot.
Okay.
And it's partridge season just opened, so that would have been the reason. I tend not to do other hunting.
Yeah. But, I was at the donut store hunting for Boston cream donuts today, but apparently they're not in season.
There's no canoe trips in my future this season.
And how is work busy? You know, all your work stuff scheduled months ahead?
I know.
Monday to Friday, 8 to 3:30. And
I'm a very dedicated person.
Okay. Right.
But I am thinking about, of Kawartha Highlands, doing a solo trip. So I am going to, what's it called? Starts with the B, Balsam Lake. So going to Balsam Lake with the family.
Yeah.
This weekend coming, but we're just camping in campground. But I'm thinking about doing Kawartha Highlands or something like that. And then there's also the yearly trip with the boys like Martin and Mike. And, you know, so we're thinking of doing, I can't remember where they said. Mike was planning it. I think it's Kawartha Highlands, Big Hawk. Like, you have to say those two words slowly.
So would that be after your solo trip?
A solo trip would be in 2 weeks, and the big Hawk Lake would be November.
So you could go up and, like, hide weird shit all around the place on the route you're going to do with the guys, and just all of a sudden find, like, Mike, is this your pair of pink panties? Like, or whatever.
Yeah, you're right.
Property of Mike Burns.
And, like, what was the thing Preston and Badger Paddle used to do? The paddle in the park.
Yeah.
Like, panty in the park. Just keep finding these random things.
These little tags. Property of Mike Burns.
Yeah.
So into the back.
Do it.
Problem is Mike Burns listens to the podcast, so he knows.
Yeah, but nobody else listens to it, so let's see him deny it.
Yeah.
You can deny it all you want, Mikey.
Funny.
We're going to get an email Thursday morning.
Oh, you better believe it. He, like, listens to it first thing Thursday mornings.
Yeah.
Always has. Thanks, Mike.
Does he not have a life?
Apparently not.
Does it at work?
Does it work? Okay. I listen to it in the car. I can't listen to a podcast not driving, like just sitting at home or something, a podcast. I just lose track.
Mm-hmm.
So
I can do it mowing the lawn or something. But yeah.
I don't listen to podcasts.
I don't listen to our podcast.
I participated in it. That's enough.
It's stupid.
500 times I participated in it. Some days we're lucky enough to drag our other people in with us.
Here's to 500 more, boys. Let's clink these empty glasses together.
Break one of
them. Smash.
Cheers, boys.
Alan, thanks for coming on.
Yeah,
Derek,
thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining me doing this for 500 episodes. You're fired.
Thank God.
It's been a competition. Is he going to quit or am I going to fire him first?
I'm too dedicated to quit. I'm waiting to get fired.
We're both too stubborn.
Like a bad dare, right? It's like, I'm in it now.
I would quit if I wasn't waiting for you to fire me.
Yep. Exactly.
And to all the guests we've had on and all our listeners,
definitely
our dedicated listeners.
We do appreciate it. Like it's nice to know that more than just my family listens.
Mine does too.
They lied. They don't.
No, I know they don't.
Yeah. Thank you very much for listening for almost 10 years for a whole 500 episodes. This has been awesome. Sure. Thanks, Alan.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
And on behalf of the community, thank you. Because it is pretty cool to be a part of this here and there. And I just see the reaction of the community at the Outdoor Adventure Show and when we're out and about and stuff.
It is interesting.
And how people come up to you guys and me. Like, the first time, I remember the first time it happened to me, it's like, oh, you're that Alan. I'm like, yeah, I am that Alan. You know, it's cool. It's just a cool way to immerse yourself in this broader paddling community. So well
that,
done
that. And I go to places. Where's Derek?
Yeah.
I had him shot.
He had to be put down. He had a limp.
Yeah. He looked at me funny. I wasn't sure. His eyes were shifty.
He looked at
well
me.
Done.
He
here's blinked. To 500 more.
500 more. That's right. Cheers. See who
all right,
quits
wrap
first.
This shit up. I gotta go to bed.
One last one.
One last one for the road.
We're not done yet. Don't say that.
If you want to find out more about us, you can find us at paddlingadventuresradio.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. You can download or stream all our episodes on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Player FM, and all your favorite podcast downloading sites. Or just go to the episode page at paddlingadventuresradio.com, and you can stream or download all our episodes there. All 500 episodes. And if you haven't started listening, you got a lot to listen. If you enjoy the podcast, please share it with friends, family, and fellow paddlers. I want to thank everybody for listening this week. I'm Sean Rowley.
And I'm Derek Specht. We'll see you next time.